A coalition of eminent international scientists and ethicists are calling for a global moratorium on the alteration of heritable DNA in sperm, eggs or embryo, otherwise known as all human germline editing. In a piece published today in the journal Nature, these scientists say the risks of this science aren't fully understood and that genetic enhancement could one day divide humans into subspecies. The appeal follows claims late last year that a Chinese biophysicist edited the embryos of twin girls, giving them immunity to HIV/AIDS. Professor John Rasko is president of the International Society for Cell and Gene Therapy. He's professor of medicine at the University of Sydney's Centenary Institute, and he is last year's Boyer lecturer. He joins me in the Breakfast studio again. John, welcome back to Breakfast.
It's great to be back, Fran. Thank
you. Now, you are, let's be clear, you're not one of the eight scientists demanding a moratorium. I think they're probably all, you know, colleagues or known to you, these people.
Yes.
Are you supportive of this demand for a moratorium?
I am supportive of this demand for the moratorium, Fran. It's something that we thought we'd already done to some extent. And I guess the nuance is that even a few years ago, there was a request, there was a statement put out by a similar group saying that it was irresponsible to proceed. Clearly, that was ignored by certain parties, in particular in China, to date. And so to the extent that that word simply didn't seem to have the weight that was expected for it to deliver, now they are using technically a stronger word, which is moratorium. And to be clear, it's not a moratorium on all research involving gene editing. And we've got to distinguish from the start this difference between the so-called germline, the word that's used here, versus, say, the body, somatic cells. In other words, they're talking about inheritable genetic modification, changing what the payload of our genetic inheritance is. So to be clear, if they make that change in the germline, then the baby's progeny will also carry that change. That's the crucial difference. Yes. That's what they're asking for a moratorium on, to pause all clinical gene editing in, let's say, babies.
And what's the difference in that and what you said on somatic cells?
Because we can do lots and lots of clever research, both in the laboratory and also in the body of individuals who might be suffering from cancer, from genetic diseases, where they themselves can be cured, but their genes are still carrying that abnormality in their payload, either through their sperm or their ovaries.
Now, I noticed that this letter from the eight scientists, this article, is calling for a global moratorium, but not a permanent ban.
That's
and
right.
I think I recall that when we spoke about this, the Chinese experiment last year, that you were of the view, really, that the horse had bolted a bit. And yet now you are backing this call for a moratorium. So tell me, has your view changed? Or?
No, my view certainly has not changed. I guess the subtlety here is that we thought we'd already asked for a moratorium. To the extent that I've always been of the opinion that the future of the human race is through an international framework, through guidelines, through regulatory embrace, that the idea of one day being able to modify our genetic heritage to prevent serious disease, and again, distinguishing between, say, enhancement or cosmetics and other things that are more subtle and controversial, to prevent serious disease, I think that's something that is in our future. That being, and I've said so in the Boyer lectures.
Yes.
That being said, a moratorium in this case means a pause on clinical germline gene therapy. We're using these technical terms. In other words, inheritable genetic modification. A pause on that so that, and this is what the authors are asking for, an international framework can be established. That's not to say that some countries might want to proceed with this technology and others, some 30 of them at the moment, who have legislation preventing germline gene modification.
If there's an international moratorium, can some countries still proceed if they wish?
The idea would be that there would be a pause, an agreed international pause on all clinical inheritable genetic modification.
John, can you just remind us what led to this? The Chinese scientist, He Zhengku, I'm not sure how I say his name, he worked on the embryos of the twin girls, Lulu and Nana,
yes,
to basically get rid of HIV, meant that they could not contract HIV. Was that the plan?
That was his ostensible reasoning, which has been brought under severe criticism and definitely regarded internationally as irresponsible, and including by over 100 Chinese scientists who published their own commentary saying that this was outrageous, that he proceeded. What he did was he used relatively standard IVF in vitro fertilization technology to edit out one of the receptors of HIV. And he did it in a very specific way. The father who was donating his sperm to this experiment was HIV positive. And the mother was negative. And so what he was saying was these parents had a concern about HIV exposure of their baby, and they and therefore we want to prevent that possibility in the future of the baby acquiring. The critical thing here is he didn't treat or attempt to cure any disease. It was not something that existed, a severe disease that existed yet. It was a theoretical exposure, and he couched it in the frame of the word vaccination, but it had nothing to do with vaccination or anything that, that actually actively prevented it. And indeed, he failed in his very own experiment.
It didn't work.
Absolutely not. One of the babies, I mean, we don't know for sure because this hasn't been peer-reviewed or published, but what we understand based on a little bit of hearsay and some slides that he presented late last year, one of the babies, he actually made the embryo and implanted it, and it failed to actually have both of the copies of this receptor knocked out. One of the babies may have that. It remains to be seen.
We do know a little more about this whole thing in China since, though Professor He, I think, or Dr. He, is in custody in China.
Yes.
But China, this procedure was actually illegal in China.
Yes.
So a lot of questions still being asked whether it actually nevertheless had the imprimatur of Chinese authorities.
Well, you asked me before, Fran, about whether the horse had bolted, and that's where I do have some unease. The very fact that if there is an international moratorium, is it still going to stop some rogue state saying, well, we're not subscribing to that moratorium, we're going to proceed
but
anyway?
China has a moratorium.
China seems to have a ministerial directive which says you should not be doing this. We believe that Dr. He is under house arrest. It's uncertain as to whether or not criminal proceedings are going ahead. Nonetheless, there is a universal outcry that what he did is irresponsible and wrong. That being said, there are still very strong questions about who funded this, how it was funded, and indeed how it was allowed to proceed, and whether there were any American supporters involved.
Well, just on that, because hasn't it been revealed that there was an American scientist from Rice University, so, you know, a recognised elite university involved in this process? And if so, does that change the whole parameters about whether this was one rogue Chinese scientist or whether this was just some kind of global partnership?
Yeah, as the information becomes more available, Fran, it becomes increasingly clear that no one can work alone in these kind of highly technical scientific pursuits. He Zhengkui worked with Michael Deem in Rice University. He was his PhD supervisor at Rice University. They've published 7 papers together. It is said that the original submission of to the journal Nature reporting this was rejected, but the last author was Professor Dean. So Dean's a biophysicist. He's a distinguished biophysicist and clearly has, to some extent, now it's controversial and there's a dispute involving lawyers to the extent that he was involved. But it is said that he may have been involved in the consent process, that it's said that he may have even been involved in China, giving advice to the parents, advising them on what this technology involved.
And just very briefly, John, we're almost out of time, but are other babies with altered genes, do we know?
Yeah, it seems like there's at least another pregnancy in the offing. Again, we haven't seen these babies.
In which country?
In China.
Professor John Rascoe, thank you very much for joining us.
It's always a pleasure. Fran, this is a big thing for the human species and, you know, doing it right is the way to go.
And if you haven't heard John's Boyer lectures, it's all about this, actually, these kind of ethical questions. I suggest you go and have a listen. John Rascoe, Professor of Medicine at the University of Sydney's Centenary Institute and the 2018 Boyer Lecturer.